got it figured out. Here we go. Welcome to those of you that listened to this last study of 1 Timothy, whoever you may be and wherever you may be at. That doesn't make sense, does it? Wherever you are. Glad that you are with us. So we're going to get started on our last study here on 1 Timothy. And we're going to get started as we look at the review from last week. There's five questions. The first question is, this is our blank study of 1 Timothy.
Last.
Very good, Donna. This is our last study. That goes in the blank. The word last.
I was going to say first because I don't remember studying.
The second one, it says, what is one thing that you have learned from 1 Timothy that you didn't know before? This is a thinker of a question. Mm-hmm. What's one thing you learned that you didn't know before we studied 1 Timothy?
Is this a personal answer?
Yes, it is.
I didn't know that there was Paul and Timothy, that Paul taught Timothy. I didn't know that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very special relationship that Paul had with Timothy. I always refer to him as my son. Not a biological son, but a spiritual son. Really close.
Yep. Well, I guess it just brought home to me that this was the first church. You know, I mean, the first Christian church that's just starting. And that's why they had to have all these rules, or just suggestions, maybe you could say, how to behave. And,
the first synod.
Yeah,
the first one that started rules.
But, you know, yeah, it's very true what you said. It's just there's a lot of things going on in Ephesus, which, I mean, a lot of things I didn't know about Ephesus until we did this study as well, you know. I didn't know that the big temple of the seven wonder of the world, or one of the wonders of the world, was there. And Diana is the Roman name for the god of the Ephesians that is...
Artemis.
Yeah, Artemis.
Artemis,
yeah. And Apollo and Artemis, brother and sister, mm-hmm. twins. And that's what we named our space shuttle. To begin with, the space thing was Apollo, and then now it's Artemis, what we hear. So that's kind of where it comes from, which is interesting.
And what again does Artemis mean?
Artemis is a hunter. It's kind of like a hunter of night. So there's kind of like the moon. The moon is the light for the hunting that goes on at night.
So she's a goddess.
Yeah. Goddess, kind of a hunter. And they add things to some of these gods too. You know, I mean, she also becomes a fertility god.
Goes along with the woke thing a little bit?
Yeah, it kind of goes along. As time goes on, they add different things to some of these gods with it as well. So she's a protector because she's a hunter. She's also a protector over, like, childbirth. That's kind of another thing that she is known for, or was looked upon as someone who would be having a baby type of thing. They would want to have Artemis be protecting her. So that's why, you know, probably someone held the Artemis little thingamajig in her hand, or a necklace or something, little idol. Because, you know, silversmiths were there making a lot of these crafts that were being sold to those that came. And so, I mean, Ephesus is a modern day country. Today would be what?
Turkey.
Which is interesting because, I mean, it's on the remote eastern side of the Roman Empire at this time, but yet it was a very big trading route that came, you know, a lot of trade came from the, like, from China, and from the east came there to Ephesus, and then of course you had from the west would also bring their goods, and they would trade type of a thing as well. So it was a very a commercially active spot. Of course, we know that
Orient Express ends.
Yeah, probably is
in Istanbul.
Yeah. So Ephesus at this time, population-wise, is, you know, 300,000 plus of people that are there. And at one time, it was one of the, it got very Christianized over time. It became a very, a big center of Christianity as well. But it was also, remember, Christianity was not looked upon as a valid religion. So they had a lot of opposition. When Paul came to Ephesus and Timothy was pastoring there, there was a lot of opposition that took place there because of Diana. Was it Diana?
Mm-hmm.
And then, or Artemis. That was the god there. So, and there's a lot of other different kinds of teachings and religions that were going on at that time as well. Because that's one of the things that, that Paul tells Timothy right away from the very beginning. Remember chapter 1? Timothy, he is to be aware of what?
False teachers.
False teachers. He said, you know, keep after those that are bringing in false teaching into the new church, the young church that is there. And Paul always emphasized that everything that takes place, it's reflected upon Jesus Christ, his resurrection. Everything is going in that vein. And the truth is going to be found in Jesus and no other place, even though you got other people who come in and would like to tell people something different. And of course, we'll get into that today. At the very end, Paul says to Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. You know, and so what has been entrusted to Timothy? You know, it's really the gospel message, and it's the truth of Jesus Christ. There's other teachers there that want to take that away or will come in and put their own little twist on it. And it's, you're going to find that the false teachers do not understand grace. They always want to put in extra kind of laws or rules that's not the gospel. But people will follow because they can follow something and they think they're doing
the right thing.
And it's still happening today, yeah. Still doing it today. You're right, Norman. All right.
I have, it's really an unrelated question, but yeah. I am curious about it. You know, mm-hmm. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote all these letters.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to be, of course, Paul was a special guy. He seemed to, I mean, when the Bible was eventually written,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have the Gospels and we have Paul's letters. There's not that much else other than the Gospels and Paul's letters.
Yeah.
So why didn't Timothy write a letter?
Mm-hmm. Good question. I don't know. But, you know, John wrote three letters. We call them epistles, which mean letters. You got Peter, who wrote two, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. John wrote Revelation, as well as 1, 2, 3 Johns, and then the Gospel of John. It's considered the same guy. So Paul wrote probably like, I'm just thinking right around 13, 14 letters that he wrote. But it's kind of like the epistles are more of a doctrine teaching. You don't find that like really in the Gospels. The Gospels are just basically about the life of Jesus Christ from birth, and not all of them talk about the birth. Only two, Matthew and Luke, are the only two that talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. The other ones pick up where John the Baptist is, and I mean John is a little different from all the other three, but still one of the Gospels. But he comes from it from a different angle in what he teaches. So.
I think too that Paul, as we've been learning it in the study of Acts, is, you know, he took those missionary trips. He took three missionary trips. So he went to all these towns and preached the gospel and planted the word. And so when people believed in that town and, you know, they got to be a group or maybe they started a church, whatever, then I think he wrote the letters to encourage them and have them keep going. And so he was just the one who was instrumental in preaching the gospel to those cities and towns. Yeah.
He was a church planter, mm-hmm. but he also was a tent maker. I mean, that's how he earned a lot of his money. in some places he said, you know, we did not come to live off you guys, or that you're supposed to treat us special or anything like that. It's like, hey, we came and we worked. We had different jobs. It was tent making. And but he did. He went and revisited some of these places where the church started to encourage them with that. And so when it comes to, just added on to what your question is there, Bruce, too, it's like, you know, it's not until like the 3rd century that some council, I don't even know what the council is, the Council of Trent, or I'm not sure. But when they canonized the Bible from Genesis through Revelation, they got together. I mean, it took hundreds of years of discussion, and other theologians or church fathers of that early time of Christianity to come together and say, is this really God's authoritative word or not? And not everybody agreed on everything. I think even Martin Luther had trouble with Revelation. He didn't really like Revelation. And he had some others he just wasn't really sure on. But there was a criteria that they used that when it came to decide which books are part of the canon from Genesis to Revelation, that these books had to pass that criteria. And that's why with the Apocrypha, many of the Apocrypha books that you find in the Catholic Bible today were thrown out. We're just not... History-wise, there were some of them that were pretty good history-wise, but there were some of the criteria that they didn't meet. And so therefore they were rejected or not put into the canon. And so, I mean, it was something that was done very thoughtfully and very, I believe, prayerfully. And it wasn't something that was just haphazard. It just took a long time for it to happen. And so, I mean, our Bible, which is the Protestant Bible that we have, is different than the Catholic Bible. And the thing that makes the Catholic Bible different than our Bible is just that the Catholic Bible has the Apocrypha. And those are those books that are within, like, the Maccabees, Ezra, Judith. There's different ones in there. The Maccabees, there's two Maccabees that are in there. They're just not looked upon as the authoritative word of God. And so if you do go to a Catholic church or a Catholic wedding or a Catholic funeral, sometimes they will have readings that will, you go like, well, the Surja or the Surah, or where, you know, where'd they get that book? Well, it's probably the Apocrypha book in the Catholic Bible is where it comes from. So that's just something to be mindful of. And that's kind of why we're looked upon as protesters against the Roman Catholic Church. That's where the word Protestant comes from, is from protesters. So anyway, that's, but I mean, yeah, I don't, it's a closed canon from what everything that I've been taught, which I didn't know what a canon was. To me, a canon was something that shot big balls of something out of them, you know. But they go like, no, the canon is what's looked upon in Scripture as the 66 books that make up the Bible that, as we know it, and it's the authoritative word of God.
So when did these canonizers put the Bible together?
It would probably be around the 3rd century. I'm just taking a guess.
The only church then was the Catholic Church.
Correct.
At that time.
Well, kind of came close to that time, or it took over at that time. I mean, there was some kind of, see, because there was other teachers going on at that time too, that were causing some problems, and that's why they knew the need was there to address some of these false teachers that were going on out there, and some were using even the Gospels as we know them, but they were teaching something different from them. And so they had to get something put together where they go like, okay, this is all in bounds, this is authoritative. And so this is what we need, this, because there's a lot of names that I can't even think of now that that people were just not Orthodox teaching, which means just the true teaching of what the scriptures said. And so it's just kind of one way that they were using to say, like, this is how we know who is real and who is not. And that's kind of like where the Apostles' Creed comes from. You know, you had to come down to saying, hey, to be a believer, you need to believe all these things. That's in the Apostles' Creed. If you don't, then you can't be a real Christian. And so, I mean, sometimes people, I mean, as you've seen over the years, that has sometimes changed, hasn't it?
Apostles' Creed?
Or is it the Lord's Prayer that's changed? I mean, there's some that don't like the word hell. Yeah. So they've eliminated hell.
And that's the Apostles' Creed.
That's in the Apostles' Creed.
From Catholic to Christian.
Yeah, I mean, there's always been some tension between the two. But you look at church history, then you get into the popes. You know, it's kind of like, we don't believe in a pope, but Catholics do. I mean, to them, the pope is Christ in person here on earth. That's how they look at the pope. If the pope says something extra cathedra, it means it's like the very words of God that he's saying. But it's called extra cathedra. And so when he makes a statement and he says that this is extra cathedra, I mean, it's like no one then questions him. Because he's speaking the very word of God from his own
mind. They don't think he's Christ. They think he's Christ-like.
Well, yeah. But he's very, it's like he's the next thing to God.
Yeah.
You know. And so, I mean, you get into around 1054, 1056 A.D., that's when you have a big split in the Catholic Church, where you got the Western Orthodox and the East Orthodox. So you have two popes, that are, one's from the East Church and one's from the West Church. You know, not all these popes were godly guys. You know, some of them had mistresses and some of them had kids.
One was a kid.
One was, yeah.
His dad bought it for him.
So, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of scandal that goes on with
what
all that.
His dad bought the Pope's office.
Yeah.
The papacy.
Yeah. Because the church at one time was very powerful, that even the kings, it would be able to tell the governments of the countries what to do and what to believe. And then it turned around where the kings and the governments became more powerful than the church at that time. And it kind of goes back and forth.
Still is.
You know, so it's just part of the history of what's gone on in Christendom, which sometimes you go like, it's not very Christian sometimes, what they did. But that's where you go back to the Bible. I just go like, you know, Martin Luther was a guy that just said, hey, we've gotten so far away from what the Bible says, and nobody knows what it, nobody teaches it in their own language. It's in Latin. The common person doesn't know it. So for him, it was like going back to the Bible. Remember Back to the Bible broadcast? Used to be heard in the Midwest.
On the radio.
Yeah, on the radio, yeah. And so it's just like, it's going back to the Bible. What does the Bible teach and what does the Bible say? It's getting people back into God's Word. And then that was the big thing in Martin Luther's day, but then you also had the Anabaptists, or the, you know, that was going on at that time too, people who believed that you needed to be immersed rather than to be baptized as an infant. You got that going way back to those times. And it was, I mean, it got very heated. There were some people who actually went out and murdered people because they didn't baptize the way they thought they should be baptized. You had that kind of an animosity toward different groups. But you go like, man, a life.
That's never a Christian.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's where you get some different theologies that get going, and it's, you just kind of go like, it's still important to study God's word. And you know, it's not that everybody may agree with you on different things. There might be different interpretations on some passages. And, you know, you just got to say, okay, this is what I believe, and this is what you believe, and we're still brothers and sisters in Christ, you know. Because you can just get into situations like that. So, anyway, that's off the, we're chasing a rabbit there. But any other questions anybody else has? I don't mind them at all, even if we can't answer anything. We just say, I don't know.
What about the Orthodox, like the Russian Orthodox and the Greek Orthodox? Yes.
What came out of the Eastern Church?
Are they more attuned to Bible teaching, or do you know?
I don't. You know, it's, you know, the great thing, like when Queen Elizabeth, of course, this is probably sidestepping your question here, Kathy, but you know, when Queen Elizabeth II died, you know, they read scripture. And they, you know, there was like, they say there was like 4 billion people who were watching or listening to this funeral thing. And what they heard when they read the scripture was just right on. It was right on scripture that was read. I just go like, wow, that was good. It's good what they said. You think that, now that...
They didn't quote the Quran.
No, there's nothing, no Quran at all, because the Queen is kind of over the Anglican Church in Great Britain. But even though she doesn't do anything, she just kind of is over it, type of a thing. But so, I mean, I just think of how the whole world that tuned in or listened to it, however they listened to it, got to hear definitely the gospel.
And that funeral was more Christian than a lot of public things have been for many years.
You're very right. You're really, really right in saying that. Yeah. It was very thought out, well, done well with that song. All right. We thought we'd get out of here early. I'm sorry for talking too much, put it that way. Let's go on to 3. What is Gnosticism? Would the Apostle Paul include those who taught Gnosticism to be false teachers? Circle 1. Y, yes. N, no. Or SN means?
Yes.
Well, it should be NS, not sure. It's to the SN.
The answer is yes. Anyway.
Yes.
It would be yes, yeah. Because if you remember right, I mean, we did study 1 John a while back. And that's really what John was addressing in 1 John was Gnosticism. There are people who came and said, no, you have to have more knowledge about this or that. What you're being taught by the disciples or what they're bringing to you is not all there. You have to have more knowledge. And so it'd be all, they thought they were just better than anybody else, type of a thing. It's kind of what comes with that. So 4, what was Paul's charge to Timothy? You look at 1 Timothy here. What would you say Paul would charge Timothy in this letter?
To watch out for false teachers.
Pray. And be faithful to Christ.
Yeah. It's just kind of like, keep the faith. And the faith promises eternal life. But kind of just keep the faith. Be faithful to what I am telling you or writing to you, you know, even though it may be difficult and tough. Keep the faith of what you know is true. 5, 1 Timothy is one of how many books? That's the blank there. How many books that are called the blank blank? So take your pick.
3 books?
3 books, yep. Known as?
Pastoral epistles.
Correct.
Is what?
Pastoral epistles. Pastoral. 1 Timothy is 1 of 3. All the T's are are kind of one spot there, but you got after Thessalonians, you got 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Those three, the Timothys and Titus, are known as the pastoral epistles. And those have to do with what? Those three books deal with what?
Church leadership.
Yeah. Just church leadership. All right, so let's get on to today's lesson. We are chapter 6, the last chapter of 1 Timothy, looking at verses 17 through the end, which is verse 21. And how about if we just read 17 through 21, and anyone who'd like to read that out loud, go ahead.
Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment.
They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Mm-hmm.
Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in so doing have departed from the faith. Grace be with you all.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's how he ends his letter to Timothy this time.
So yours is signed Paul.
All. Grace be with you all.
No.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing to get that clarified now.
Yeah. Mine just says grace be with you, period.
Yep.
That's what mine says.
That's what mine
says. Mine says grace be with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, you can be plural. Mm-hmm. Rather than just singular.
Right.
At times too, so. Grace be with you. So if he says grace be with you all, then he's just, that would be to the churches. Whoever would listen to this letter in any church at any time that they read it, it's to all. This letter's to all, to everybody.
Like the Southerners, y'all.
Y'all. Yeah, okay, verse 17, one last time, to be instructed on money and possessions. A person's wealth can be a blessing or a curse. What does Paul say about those who are rich in this present world? Because there were people like that in his day that, you know, were wealthy. There's nothing wrong with wealth unless...
You're arrogant.
Don't become haughty.
Well, yeah, it says, don't become arrogant or haughty. What does that really mean?
Thank you. Don't be boastful.
Or sometimes you can think they can be better. They feel that they can be better than other people. They have more, and so because they have more, they're better than somebody who doesn't have as much as they do, type of a thing, or wealth type. So he just says, don't become arrogant. Don't go that direction if that is where you find yourself with wealth. B, don't put your blank in it.
Hope.
Yeah, don't put your hope in it. Because why?
It's false.
It's temporal.
It's temporary.
Yeah.
You know, if today we've got like a 401k, or things like that. What has happened to your 401k in the last year and a half?
It's not been
good. It's taken a dive. You know, before it was like, you know, it's always fun to have a 401k when it keeps growing. But then all of a sudden it's like, what in the world's going on here? It's like I never ever used to pay any attention to the stock market or anything like that. But now I listen sometimes to Covito. He's on. I go. I just want to see kind of what the markets are doing. Mm-hmm. And if it's green, I know that's a good sign. Mm-hmm. But if it's red, and sometimes a red can really be red, it can be over 1,000 points red. And then there's times where it's been 1,000 points in the green.
Did you see what it did today?
No, I haven't seen today. Is it red? Yesterday was red.
It started out over 800.
Mm-hmm. Green? Today?
And now is it dropping or is it?
I haven't looked at it lately, but they said, what was the reason for that? Because of the
election?
It's Tuesday. Wednesday.
Consumer price index or something.
Oh.
Monday and Tuesday it was
that
green.
Came out today, I think you're right.
Today is really, really green. Huh. But
yesterday was really red.
I haven't looked lately.
Yeah.
Keith used to keep track of it, but I'd look at it, but that's it.
Yeah, I just kind of like, if it's green, that's good.
But there was some report that was coming out today, I remember, so it must have been one. That
could be index, apparently. Is that right?
I don't remember the name of it, but I remember hearing that there was something coming out today that was going to affect the...
I don't understand the markets.
I don't know. I just said green is good.
Yeah. Yes. Well, there's no rhyme or reason.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, it just, those are just saying kind of some things that Paul is just saying, you know, if there's wealth in the church, don't let that rule you, because it can be gone. A person can be one way because they have a lot, and then it can be gone real quick too. And then our hope needs to be put in Jesus. That is where it needs to stay. And of course, in Jesus, we know that he was a humble servant, you know, and an incredible lover of people and helping people. And that's part of the Christian character as well. I don't know if some of you probably got this text last night from Amy Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Johnson. She's kind of heading the
Joy Kids.
But who gave Bibles to the Joy Kids?
Patty. Patty got a Thrivent grant.
Okay.
So she bought Bibles. We always give Bibles to the kids.
Okay.
And it was just the time for the, I think it was second graders, first graders, to get their Bibles.
Okay.
And then some of the older kids too.
Yeah. Well, that was given out last night. And then I think Amy got a text from two of the kids that are here, I think Logan and
Bryn.
Who
were in church last Sunday.
Yeah, the dad was there, the big tall guy. And so she texted Amy, and what did she say, Dina? Well, you're looking it up.
I thought it would come up right away, but it's not coming up.
But something like, it's just something that she wanted to just thank the church for giving the Bibles to her kids. It was just, it came at just the right time, or something that they just really needed.
It was a blessing.
And it was just a real blessing, you know. So Amy shared that with a number of people that were involved with Joy Kids with that.
So it came from the parents.
It came from one of the parents. Yeah.
Somebody who actually said thank you.
Yes.
And somebody showed up in church.
Yes.
Right.
And the reason the dad came is because the little guy, his son, wanted to come to church. And so he just asked his dad. I mean, they're here. And I go like, usually you come to church, you don't take communion.
Okay.
Go ahead, read it.
I just wanted to thank you for giving Logan and Bryn Bibles. They're just what we needed. We really appreciate all you do for them. And then her name, Candessa.
Yeah. She goes by Candy.
Candy.
You know, if you see Candy. We'll probably never see her in church, because she's got a phobia.
Agoraphobia.
It's called agoraphobia?
Yeah. Fear of leaving your home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she...
Okay, let's keep going here.
Okay, we're going here. All right. Anyway, that was just a good thing.
She did bring the kids in, though. I thought she brought them the first day.
Well, she'll pick them up. She'll be out here with the car. She'll pick up the kids, but it's kind of her... Where she goes, it's very limited. And she doesn't mean she's comfortable with that.
Okay.
All right. Number two, how are the rich to look at their wealth while they are living on this earth? It is temporary. It is blank. What do you think the other blank would be?
Uncertain.
Uncertain. It can be here today and blank tomorrow.
Gone.
Yeah, gone tomorrow.
It's like the stock market.
It can be, yeah. It can be here and it can be gone, you know, so. 618, number three on your sheet, you have heard it said, it is better to blank than to blank.
And to receive.
Yeah, it's better to give than to receive. What does Paul command Timothy to teach to those who are already wealthy? There's three things.
To do good.
To do good. Okay, we'll just stop there. How is that done? We say do good. Well, how is that done? What does he mean, do good?
Help people who need help.
Okay, yeah.
Be helpful. Yeah.
Which brings me to another thought. I talked to Mark Ebel on the phone yesterday. He couldn't, he just said, I don't know the words, I don't have the words to say to you of just how thankful we are for what you guys have done, Harbor of Joy has done for them. I said, Marcus, it's probably only a drop in the bucket, I said, from what you do need. He said, no, he goes, you've done more for us than even our own church has ever done, which is in Estherville. And so he said, we want to transfer our membership to this church. And then not only that, he and Tammy plan on being here Christmas Eve service.
That'd be...
He wants to be here. He's hoping that they can be here at the Christmas Eve service to meet. Mm-hmm. He goes, I haven't met anybody in the church. He said, but you. And I said, well, you know, you'll be glad to meet other people, I said. So I just thought that was an amazing thing. So he wants to do that. He said, hopefully we can do that. But that's what he wants to do. So it's sharing and giving kind of a thing. That goes along with being a Christian with the resources, the things that you have. It's learning it's better to give than to receive. And that's not always something that is easy to do. B, to be blank in blank deeds or works.
Rich in good deeds.
Yep, okay. To be rich in good deeds or good works. So he's putting a little twist on the, you can be rich in a lot of things, but he wants us to be rich in doing good. Because we then really know what real life is. True life comes through that by helping others. And the C is to be blank and willing to blank.
Generous.
To be generous and willing to
share.
Yep, to share. That's what he just teaches Timothy, and that's really goes along with, I mean, didn't Jesus teach that as well? Just want you to know that what he's saying is not anything new, but he reinforces it. Number four, when our resources or wealth is used in this way, what happens? A, we will lay up blank in heaven.
Treasure,
yep. And B, there is a blessing that comes to us only through
That's
just kind of by the way you use your wealth.
The life that really is life.
Through giving and sharing with others. I mean, that's true life. You know, there's something about when you know you've really helped somebody that is very appreciative of it. And they express it, you know, just like Mark. It's not only Mark, I mean, it had a big impact, I think, on Peg and Jim as well. I mean, Peg would talk about it, she would just tear up. She goes, I can't talk about it. Because
Peg and Jim have always been faithful members of this church, mm-hmm. though. They've always been an active part of this church from the beginning.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, we don't know how this will all be received or how it's going to go out, but I mean, they've got kids and grandkids. I mean, I don't know what they've said to them, but it'll be a positive thing for sure. All right, go to verse 20. Paul mentions Timothy by blank.
By name.
Yeah, by name. And he says to Timothy that he is to guard what has been entrusted to him. So what is Timothy to guard that has been entrusted to him is the question.
Well,
mine says the deposit.
Or deposit, yeah.
Well, who has another word for deposit in there? Guard the deposit entrusted to you. Mm-hmm. What other version is there?
Or the life entrusted to you.
The life?
I mean, you want someone to take care of, you know, if we put anything into the bank, you're trusting the bank, they'll take care of whatever you've given to them to take care of for you. It's yours. You know, and they'll help you keep track of it. So, I mean, so they're actually kind of guarding it. If it is a deposit, they will guard that, but it's not theirs. But we know it's safe there. And so, but Timothy, he's been given the gospel. That's a deposit. That's what he's to guard. Because, like I said before, there are people out there, false teachers who are out there, who will want to steal that or say something different to make it not the gospel anymore. The gospel is what God has done for us. And if you add anything to that, if you add a good work to it, it's not the gospel anymore. You destroyed the gospel. And so if you can't add a law and still have a gospel, it's either all gospel or it's not the gospel. And so therefore it's, you know, he's commanding or Timothy, reminding Timothy or to be urgent, hey, we have something very precious, very valuable, what God has done for us through Christ. Guard that. Don't let anyone come in and tell you something different. And so six, Paul instructs Timothy to stay away from two things. From blank chatter.
Godless.
Godless chatter. Depends what translation your Bible says. Godless chatter is one, and then from blank knowledge. False knowledge. And see, that's where Gnosticism comes in, the knowledge part. False knowledge. The Gnostics said, you know, there's more to this that you don't know about. You got to become like us and to believe and know these things about Christ. And then you will arrive or something like that. So they're adding to the gospel, which then there is no gospel. But they add to it. The gospel is always what God has done, period. And it's very simple, and it's for everyone. The way the Gnostics go, it's like you have to be somebody important or you have to have some special ability to gain with extra knowledge or something about Christ. And that's not what Jesus ever mentioned or talked about. So there's just a little hint there of some of the false teachers. You know, there's Gnosticism. That was a big thing in the early church.
So like saying you have to have a vision or you can't be saved without
a vision. Right, yeah. That'd be very, very, very similar.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be like speaking in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, well, then you can't be a believer. It doesn't say that. But there are people who believe that. You know, and that becomes a big thing. Can you speak in tongues, or do you speak in tongues? You know, no. Well, then how can you say you're a believer? You're not a believer yet until you speak in tongues. And you have a lot of different things like that going on even today. Seven, why would Paul say this? The godless chatter, false knowledge. Why is he telling Timothy to stay away from those two kinds of things?
Because that's what was happening at the time.
It was happening. But the same thing is that Timothy is one who is to always be standing up for the truth. For the truth. And Paul will emphasize, too, godliness. To be godly. And to know the truth. To live the truth. To live a godly life. That would be to be godly is something only God can help us to be. We can't be godly without God's help. Because we got the old nature. Our old nature knows how to be sinful. But with God, it changes that nature where He gives us what we could never do in our own strength. To be godly, live for Him.
I think in that irreverent chatter and false knowledge, it says has swerved some people from the faith, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they followed that instead of keeping on the path of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Tickle their ears. Last one. Paul ends his letter by saying, blank be with you.
Grace.
Grace be with you. What is grace?
God's riches at Christ's expense.
Yeah. Do we deserve it?
No.
We don't. Yeah. And so there again, I mean, Paul always comes back. If God would not have been gracious to him and helped him, he looks at it all through the eyes of grace. And you think of the things that were Paul had, what he had done, missionary journeys, there was three of them. Why didn't he have four journeys? I don't know. He didn't go back to, in some of his journeys, he didn't always go back to the churches that were started. But I think there had to be like 10 men in order for a church to start. And if they didn't have that, well, they had to just wait until that happened. And then it kind of went from there. So leadership was very important to keep people in the church focused on what it needed to be focused on. So there we are. Grace be with you. Now, well, we're gonna the first Thursday in December, we'll start a new study. It will be a character study on Joseph. So we'll go back to Genesis and just look from the beginning of Joseph's life and kind of follow him through and use that as our time together, starting the first Thursday in December. So we won't meet next week. And we won't.
Next week's not Thanksgiving yet, though, is it?
No. 2 weeks. 2 weeks it is. 2 weeks from today it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah. You can come to my